Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and that clip you just heard was from I Feel Pretty, the new comedy from Amy Schumer that is it's got her taking a little bit of heat. She's getting some pretty bad reviews for this one. A lot of blowback from people who think that the film is misguided. If you read my review, you probably know that I am one of those people. But I don't know how my guest feels about it. My friend Hannah Buchdahl from the Cinema Clash will be joining me in just a few minutes. I know she was there at the screening with me, but I didn't ask her what she thought about it. So I'm curious to get her opinion on that. So she'll be joining us in just a minute. And I hope she saw the movie The Writer, because I haven't seen it yet. I'm going this afternoon, and I'm going to ask her what her thoughts on that as well. This is the film that was nominated for an Indie Spirit Award just a couple of months ago. A lot of people are talking about it as one of the best movies of the year already. So I'm anxious to get her thoughts on that. Assuming she's seen it, I'm going to take a guess that she's seen it, because she sees just as many movies as I do. And I let my screening link expire because I'm an idiot. So now I got to go and actually go physically go see it. So anyway, talk about that in a little bit. Also, after we're done with the reviews, we're going to be talking about a lot of news this week. Steven Spielberg is joining the DC Universe. Can you believe that? He's making a Blackhawks movie. Vin Diesel's got XXX4 coming up. Before you even ask me why, just wait. Birds of Prey has found its director, so you got Margot Robbie coming back as Harley Quinn for that. And we're going to talk about how that is affecting Suicide Squad 2, because it does. There's a Mask film coming up. There's a lot of stuff going on this week. Star Wars Episode 9 has a new second unit director. You might ask yourself, why? Does anybody care about the second unit director? You'll find out why shortly. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on here. And of course, Avengers Infinity War is in just a few days. We'll be seeing it in a couple of days. Debating on whether or not to do a special show in the middle of the week for that. I may do that as soon as the embargo lifts. Go ahead and do an early show, an early spoiler-free review show for that. So keep an eye out on the Facebook page for that. But for now, let's go ahead and bring in Hannah. What's up, Hannah? How you doing?
Hey, Travis. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. What are you laughing about?
I'm just unmuted. So now that I'm unmuted, I just find it funny.
Now you're unmuted, you find it funny. Okay.
And I have seen The Writer.
Good. I figured you
and
had.
And I am looking forward to the Avengers.
Are you going to be there on Tuesday?
Yes, I anticipate being there. That's the beauty of being a freelancer. Sometimes
it
some
is.
things take priority over others.
Yes, no, I completely agree with you. Let me just change what I was going to say now. No, I don't feel bad for our colleagues who can't make it. I don't care. They can't make it. It's too bad.
I do feel bad. It was a tough call. I had to weigh my regular paycheck versus suddenly disappearing for 3 hours in the middle of the day. But Avengers won out.
Every time one of these screenings comes up and it's a big one and they put it at 1 o'clock, I just laugh because I'm just waiting for people to start whining about it. And I just, I don't care anymore. I whined first
and then I RSVP'd.
Exactly. If you really want to go, you can go. you had to make a sacrifice.
That's right.
When I used to work during the day, I had to make sacrifices. It's just the way it goes. I never used
That's
to whine
right.
about it. Just,
we
just
have
go.
Our priorities intact.
We have our priorities. If you can't make it, go on Thursday.
That's true, too. That is option number two.
That is option two, exactly. But anyway, I'm excited for that, too. Of course, we all are. It's going to be huge, and it's going to be fun, and I like that they put all these restrictions on it. Like, if you're not reviewing it, you can't go.
Yeah, right. How do you define a review anyway? You're making it spoiler free, and so what do? You just say, "Okay, I reviewed it. I liked it. There you go.
See,
I've reviewed it."
That's actually a really good question. Like, how do they define a review? Because, there are certain members of LAFCA whose reviews tend to be, let's just call them informal, like they might
we chat
they
about
might.
It after the screening.
Right, exactly. So I don't know what they mean by that. I honestly think if we asked Allied, they wouldn't know what they meant by it either. It seems like the rules are so fluid nowadays. Things are so weird. Even the embargoes are weird now. Everything's strange. So yeah. you got to pay more attention. But enough Avengers for now. Let's talk about I Feel Pretty. I know you were at the screening with me for that. This is Amy Schumer's film. It's taken a lot of heat lately. It's about a regular woman who has low self-esteem, who hits her head in a soul cycle accident, which I thought that scene was pretty funny. A soul cycle accident, and wakes up seeing herself in a completely different way. She sees herself as a beautiful woman. And it gives her all sorts of confidence to go out and be the person she always thought she should be or could be. This movie is kind of like Shallow Hal meets Big in a way, but it's also like, I also called it misguided, like Shallow Hal was. Cause like Shallow Hal, as bad as it was, I think its heart was in the right place. It was just badly done.
I think Amy's heart was in the right place for this one,
too. Me too.
Absolutely. But it's flawed.
Yes. How do you think it's flawed? What's flawed?
Well, I do feel that the message is a good one, and it's a solid one, and it had moments that are very funny. I just thought it had some misguided story points. I thought that her friendship with she becomes kind of annoying, and
she's not confident. They try to make it seem as if it's confidence. It's not confidence. She becomes a bitch. Let's be honest. She's terrible. She's terrible.
Well, she's walking this fine line where she's recognizing that in some ways, now that she's beautiful, she has certain access to certain things and can do certain things she couldn't do before. But there's supposed to be this inner core, which of course comes out, by the end, of who she really is. And so I think that it comes around to the right place. It just kind of takes some weird detours that don't necessarily track all that well. But it's not a bad movie. It's just, it's like any body image thing. It's flawed, but that doesn't make it bad.
Yeah, I mean, my review was sort of middle of the road with it. My biggest complaints were about its approach more so than the movie itself. Like, I think I love Amy Schumer. I'm a big fan of her. I'm a big fan of her body positive message that she has in her act and in her social media posts and things like that. I love that stuff, you know. And I think her heart is in the right place in this movie, but she didn't write this movie. Somebody else wrote it. And I think their image, their approach to the subject was not as strong as I think it would be if Amy Schumer maybe written it herself.
That's true.
Because, you know, like I said, when she changes, she doesn't become confident. She becomes really kind of mean. And she becomes mean to her friends who aren't as hot as her, and she doesn't perceive them as hot as her, and she becomes.
But I don't think she sees herself as. I didn't find her being all that mean. Like, this is not a Mean Girls kind of mean. This is a misguided sort of mean. But I don't think that the intent isn't there. Whereas in some movies, the Mean Girls intend to be mean to other people. I think what makes this character slightly different is that she's this merged character of the beautiful woman and the average woman kind of colliding, and different parts of her come out at different times.
Mm-hmm. I think you're giving her too much credit. But okay. No.
I don't think this is a great – I'm not saying that this is a great movie that everyone should come out and see. But I was talking to somebody yesterday about, and she has major body image issues, and she's rather, you know, heavy set. She's ready to go and get, you know, stomach reduction surgery. She has a 13-year-old girl, and she asked me about this movie, and she really was looking forward and wants to see it. And I think it will be good for her. And I said, take your 13-year-old too, because they'll have a discussion, and so they can take away what the best parts of the message are and discuss it as a mother and daughter. Right. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think this is a movie for guys. I don't think many guys would really relate as well, but I think it's a perfectly.
You think guys don't have body issues or self-esteem issues?
No, they do, but I think what makes the funny, but I think what makes the comedy bits are the things that, that a lot of women can definitely relate to.
I feel like the funniest bits weren't even really about that. The funniest bits to me were Michelle Williams. You know, Michelle Williams, who plays the CEO of the fashion company that Amy Schumer works for, who has this really bizarre, mousy voice. I know. When she first started talking, I was like, is that how she's going to talk the entire movie? And she does.
Yeah.
I love Michelle Williams in this film. She seems to be enjoying herself playing this sort of character, you know. And she has some of the best, like, under-the-radar one-liners.
Like, and she probably got the best story. You know, her story arc is very positive in the end.
Yes, it is.
And so that's a good thing, because you really don't know where her character is going to go at the beginning.
Absolutely. And she's another character who has self-doubt issues, you know.
Right.
Whether she fits in with the company and this company's new approach. She's defensive about her voice. You know, I agree with you. Her storyline is a good one. I think this movie stumbles into areas where I think it hits on things correctly, you know, in the right way. I loved most of the scenes with Schumer and her boyfriend, the guy that she meets. I like most of those scenes with him because they were cute, they were charming,
right.
And he's someone who has his own issues. Everybody in this movie has issues with themselves.
Yeah, nobody's evil. There are no villains. They've all got issues.
There are no villains. There are no villains. But I do think Schumer's character is a little bit more mean spirited than I think they intended for her to be. And I will say that
where it goes askew there. And I didn't understand the brother, the whole cute brother of Michelle Williams' character of Avery LeClaire.
Yeah.
You know, you got the hot brother who comes into play that obviously is going to kind of fall for her too, But they did not take that character anywhere. That was a huge disappointment for me.
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere either. I think that was just a big setup, because you're like, oh, she's pretty. She's obviously going to be self-centered and go with this guy now and dump the other guy. And it kind of goes that way a little bit. But, you know, it didn't go anywhere interesting. Let's put it that way.
No, it didn't track. And so it kind of fell off. And it seemed like such a throwaway. Like they had some other plot line going and then decided they needed to just cut it out. But I didn't think that worked all that well. I think it was a waste. It was just a waste of that other guy's character, because I think it could have been better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I at first I was like, am I going to like this boyfriend guy? Because he was so effeminate. You know,
yeah.
I was like, am I going to like this guy at all? Because I don't know any guys like him.
He is. He's a surprise. You really don't know exactly where that guy's going, but I think in the end he absolutely is turns into sort of just a nice, normal, charming guy who puts up with a lot from Amy Schumer's character, whereas I don't know if most guys would really be quite so tolerant.
Right. I think in most ways she's probably out of his league. And maybe that's why he sticks around. but also,
think,
you know,
you're
but
supposed
also
to think
he's
she's not, you know?
Somebody who likes her for who she is, not for who she thinks she left behind, which one of the reasons why that relationship kind of works, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know. But the thing is, I don't know about her, though. See, the thing is that makes me wonder about why she liked him is whether or not she felt like he was somebody she could get. Or maybe she was somebody she could overpower, which she kind of does throughout the entire movie.
That's a really good point. Yeah, thinking back on it, you're kind of like, why did she pick this guy? Because it was a pretty random thing, and so that's a valid point. This movie also reminded me a lot of The Nutty Professor, where you had Eddie Murphy is this, you know, overweight, good-hearted professor guy who then takes some drug and loses a gazillion pounds and turns into an absolute jerk. So I think it had shades of that movie in addition to Shallow Hal and every other body switch kind of movie that's out there. So
yeah.
I've put it sort of, it doesn't rank with those, you know, classic Freaky Friday type of movies. But I didn't hate it. I mean, to me, it was just sort of one of those, some people, girls' night out kind of movie, no harm, no foul in seeing it. I think some people went a little over the top with the criticisms. It's like, come on, it's a movie. And as long as the message itself overall is well-intentioned, then I don't see any harm in renting it down the line.
I have a few friends who are really anxious to see it, and I wouldn't dissuade them from it. I wouldn't tell them to avoid it. You know, they might find a little bit more in it than I do. In fact, they almost certainly will. But it's not awful. I found it fairly middle of the road.
Exactly.
I can always watch Amy Schumer. I don't care what she's doing. So I can watch it on that level. I do think the message is trying to send, while well-intentioned, does get a bit cloudy in the movie. And the ending, there's a big finale at the end that's just kind of a mess. It's like everything is getting wrapped up really quickly in like a big show. It's like Avengers and Babysitting or something like that. It's just some huge smorgasbord of stuff going on to wrap everything up at once. And it just didn't quite work.
No, I love Adventures in Babysitting, and this one does not rank.
Well, there's not those two movies are not even close. But otherwise, this movie's, I guess people, I'm curious to see what it's going to do at the box office. Let's put it that way.
Me too. Because it's like, don't overthink it. Either you want to see it. If the trailer appeals to you, you're probably going to be okay with it. If you don't like Amy Schumer to begin with, if you watch the trailer and think it looks horrible, then skip it.
Then don't go see it. But again, you don't have a ton of options in new movies to see this week, so I guess you had to go see something else. something from last week or something.
Yeah. I missed Stormtroopers 2, so I can't speak to that one either.
Oh, Stormtroopers 2, you know, I didn't watch it either. Somebody else watched it for us. I am not a fan of Broken Lizards. I tend to avoid all their movies. And I absolutely hate Super Troopers. So there was no way I was going to go see Stormtroopers 2.
See, and I even got the name wrong. I thought it was, I'm like, Stormtroopers, whatever that one was.
That's a Star Wars movie. Stormtrooper 2 is a Star Wars movie that hasn't been made yet.
There you go. I'm gonna get on that bandwagon.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of Broken Lizard. I think the only one that I thought was passable was Club Dread. I don't even remember how many years ago that was. And if I watched it now, I'd probably think it was terrible. All right, so talk to me a little bit about, well, before we jump to the writer, I was going to say let's jump right into the writer. Let me play a little bit from the writer for people who may not know much about this movie. It's from director Chloe Zhao. But here's a little bit of footage from the writer. Just so you can play this. There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about another round of applause? You get a little bit out of time, and that's all it takes to put you down to the ground. Here's Brady Jaffe.
No more writing, no more rodeos.
Some guys, they get scared to get on again, and then they end up becoming farmers. Ain't that right, Brady? You don't let no pain put you down.
I had to sell Gus, Brady.
You can't sell Gus.
It's not like you can ride anymore.
Wow, that's amazing. A horse that never had nobody on his back before.
Where are you going with that?
I'm going to the rodeo.
You don't need to go ride today.
I'm entered and I'm riding.
Go kill yourself then.
Sometimes dreams aren't meant to be.
I believe God gives each of us a purpose. To the horse, it's to ride across the prairie.
Go, man, go, man, go, man, go, man.
For a cowboy, it's to ride.
That's a little bit from the new film, The Rider, which is out in theaters now. The movie was nominated for Best Feature at the Indie Spirit Awards a couple months ago. And everybody was like, what's that movie? Well, this is it. It's The Rider. So you had a chance to see it, Hannah. I'm going to see it this afternoon. Talk to me a little bit about this film.
Well, I think I'm glad you're going to see it on the big screen, right? Because yes. I saw it. I did watch The Link. And so I saw it on a smaller screen. And I can see how this one... you'd want to be able to see the South Dakota scenery and stuff. So it's one of those art house.
I was going to say, lots of wide open spaces of the heartland, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. It's South Dakota and, cowboy territory. And so it's, I'm not a huge indie fan, but this one really just kind of sticks with you. It's very authentic and raw. And it's this interesting hybrid of sort of a Western and part biopic about this young cowboy who basically falls in a rodeo accident. He ends up cracking his head open and can't ride anymore. And that was his whole life. And so you've got the real guy, this guy Brady Jandro, playing himself, essentially, a version of himself in this film. And that's what makes it appealing, is when you realize that this guy is playing himself and the staples in his head, the scars are very real. But what didn't work for me as well as other people is that he's surrounded by other real-life family and friends playing versions of themselves as well. And it's a mixed bag with whether people, these non-professionals, can really act.
Right, yeah.
He's captivating to watch. Everyone else, to me, felt a little more, just their dialogue felt a little more forced. Whereas when he's the center... and you're just sort of watching him struggle to find his new identity after he can no longer be a rodeo star. That's where this movie is really compelling.
Nice. I'm really interested in seeing this one. I hope it's good. The acting performances aren't 3:15 to Paris bad, are they?
No, and that's what I think makes it fascinating, is that you realize that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and obviously people feel that with Brady it works. You know, here you had Clint Eastwood directing, you know, the other movie, and obviously it did not track with people. And so I think you're taking a huge risk, but that's the only reason this movie exists, is because... Mm-hmm. It really is just this guy's story, a version of his story, and he pulls it off. And so it might not, if it had been anyone else, it might not have worked at all. And so it is this sort of very strange hybrid where you're like, am I watching a documentary? Am I watching a drama? And it's the lines are very blurred. And to me, it worked sometimes. Other times I was not quite as enamored as a lot of people have been with calling this a masterpiece. I think it's a really good, quiet, it's a authentic, raw indie. And so, but you have to like those. So I'm not so sure the same people that would be debating whether to go see I Feel Pretty would choose The Rider instead.
Right. Yeah. No, this is a movie that's aimed for the art house circuit. It's not, they're not looking to go mainstream with this one, which, you know, that's why it's not with Indie Spirits. You know, and it's probably not going to go, it's probably going to go huge, but if it does has a fairly good per site average this week, you never know. The blurring of the lines between documentary and feature sounds a little bit like American Animals, which is a movie that's coming out in a few weeks. That saw at Sundance. I think they gave us screening links for that too, or at least they offered them.
That's coming up.
Yeah, and that's a movie that was one of my favorites at Sundance. And that one blurs those lines too. Has the real actors in the role in the movie, but it's a heist movie, you know, and they're kind of reflecting back on this on what they did, and while actors play them at a younger age, and it's like part documentary, part heist feature, you know, and it's kind of interesting in that regard. So I it's doing one of those things. These are and that movie is, you know, pretty much an indie as well, just of a different genre. And, you know, it seems like you can take those kinds of narrative gambles in the indie circuit, because they don't seem to want to make those kinds of, you know, take those kinds of risks with the major studios, you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of these indies that have been coming out lately, they're all sort of on par. And so people ask about, well, which one of these art house movies is the best one? And I'm like, well, to me, several of them are very, very similar in the vibe, but it depends on which topic interests you. And so some people are going to go see one over another, but none of them are necessarily better than the other. They're just different. And so I feel bad for some of the other small indies that don't get the kind of traction that The Rider seems to be getting, when they might be just as good, just nobody happens to have seen them, which is kind of a shame sometimes.
Yeah, no, it is a shame. Your average person doesn't realize that there are about a dozen movies that come out every week. It's not, you know, the one or two that get added to your multiplex every week. There are a lot of movies that come out every week and not everything gets a lot of attention. And these aren't just little tiny movies with people you've never heard of. These are movies that have some pretty big stars in them. You know, one of our other writers reviewed Little Pink House this week, which, you know, stars Catherine Keener. You know, that movie's not going to play anywhere near you probably. You know,
Well, and I saw a little one called Love After Love with Andy McDowell and Chris O'Dowd, and nobody's seen that one. That's some family dynamic melodrama kind of movie with these two big, you know, pretty big names. And The Endless. I never saw The Endless, but people have been raving about The Endless
as a
horror sort of movie. You can't see everything. And so it's just always interesting just what gains traction and then just what absolutely comes and goes and nobody ever hears about that might be very good.
Exactly. Well, Hannah, this has been fantastic as always having you on the show. Tell everybody a little bit about Cinema Clash. Have you killed Charlie over there yet?
No, but you know, I'm working on it. But he's definitely watching all those little movies that everyone else might miss. If you want to hear about them, then definitely tune into the Cinema Clash podcast. It's also on iTunes, and and then my reviews pop up on chickflix.net as well, but are definitely a little more mainstream oriented than what you'd get on Cinema Clash. So it's always always fun.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Hannah. This has been fantastic, and I will see you in a couple days at Avengers Infinity War. You have to come sit by me.
I will. All right. Sounds good. Right. Thanks, Travis.
All right, Hannah. Thanks. Yeah. All right, everybody. That was Hannah Buchdahl of Cinema Clash, which you can listen to right here on Blog Talk Radio as part of Critical, the Movie Critics Network, one of our top shows. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk news, Vin Diesel, Triple X4, Birds of Prey, Blackhawks, all sorts of stuff. And since my buddy Forrest McCaffrey is coming on here to talk with me, we're probably going to drift into Funko talk. So if this turns into a Funko episode, I'm sorry. I'll be right back. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Cinema Royale. We just had my friend Hannah Buchdahl of Cinema Clash on here talking about I Feel Pretty and The Rider, two movies opening this week. And now I'm bringing in my buddy, who's never been on the show before, and he's not even really a film critic. He's just somebody I like to talk to about various things. This is Forrest McCaffrey. He's on here to talk news with me, and we're probably going to talk Funkos because we both collect them. What's up, man? How you doing?
How you doing, Travis?
I'm all right, man. How are you doing? How's your weekend going?
Pretty good. I finally got a chance to check out Beirut this weekend. That was pretty good.
Oh, you saw Beirut? Yeah.
Yeah.
You dug it?
Finally got a chance to check that out.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's all right. You know, I saw it at Sunday. I think I gave it a 3 out of 5 or something like that. I don't remember. I liked it. You know, it's kind of an old school movie, and which I guess it should be. I mean, he wrote it like 20 years ago, so I guess it would feel kind of old school. But
I was reading about that when I checked out your review. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know because I was at the world premiere, and Tony Gilroy was there, and so was the director, John Hamm, and I was like, I knew nothing about the story behind the script or anything like that. So I had no clue. So that was a surprise to me. But yeah, it's a solid movie. It could be the start of something if it were to make any money, which it doesn't look like it's going to. I don't know.
Yeah. I think people will probably find out like through Netflix and on demand and everything.
It's going to have to be one of those situations. It's going to have to catch fire that way.
Box office
came out already. Wow. It's kind of weak. Sorry, I'm looking at the box office numbers. Beirut, $3.9 million total after 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the budget for this was. I know the budget was small. I talked to Tony Gilroy, and he said the budget was pretty low. But I don't know. It's still pretty. But it's not really playing anywhere. It's only playing at 750 theaters. So, I mean, that's not that you know, if it, if it finds a way to expand, then maybe it would do better. But it doesn't. I don't think it's going to expand. So we'll see. It's going to, like you said, it's going to find an audience in Blu-ray or DVD or something like that. Are you excited for Infinity War?
Yes, sir. Thursday night. Can't get here quick enough. I'm trying to avoid, you know, watching the commercials and everything, but you know, it's kind of hard though. So
it's tough. I always find myself in the predicament of whether or not I should post stuff at this point. Once things get close, it's like, do I want to continue to post things about certain movies, like the Star Wars movies and the Marvel movies, of course, in particular this one. So do I want to post anything? Because I don't want to watch them either. You know, like, I don't want to watch them.
Yeah. But you kind of have to, like, you know, watch it to have a little description for the site and everything. So
a little bit. At least a little bit. And, you know, and I told myself I posted a few days ago that I wasn't going to do it anymore. And then I've gone ahead and I've done it, like, two or three times since I did that. So, it's just, you know, it's a balancing act. And so far the balance is not been equal on my end. I've been posting whatever. So I don't know, but I'm excited for it too. I see it in a couple of days and I'm excited. You're supposed to go. You're supposed to give me that Yondu figure, you know?
Yeah. Okay. For some reason, see, and I was talking to my wife also, I think she might've, because you said that it was on Tuesday, right?
Yes, Tuesday, 1 o'clock.
See, I think that she's not working on Tuesday. I think she's working tomorrow. So she might have screwed me up on that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I already gave it to a friend now because you said you weren't going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. It's only a two-day wait, so, you know.
It's just two more days. Only two more days.
Long days.
Exactly. And I'm going to have already
got plans. It's going to be a
slow week. I've already got plans to see it again next Sunday with some friends on the Uvar Hazy IMAX, the giant IMAX joint. So I think I've
been there twice, I think, down in Virginia. I think I saw Mission Impossible and Dark Knight there.
Yeah, I think we've all gone to see Dark Knight there. I think everybody went to see the Dark Knight there.
I think that was the first time I saw it, and then second time was to see the opening prologue for Dark Knight Rises before Mission Impossible.
Great
screen though.
We had a screening there once. They screened Revenge of the Fallen, whichever the second Transformers movie was. They had a screening for there because there was a scene there. The scene with the planes. Where the planes transform, the whole planes, it was shot there. And that's, you know, I think that's why they had the screen in there, which is pretty cool. All right. Anyway. Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody
cares about Transformers anymore.
Yeah, there will be more, my friend. There will be more.
Of course
there will. Even though this last one didn't do that great, there will be more. Let's talk about some stuff that's coming out soon that should be interesting. I never saw XXX3. The Return of was it the Return of Xander Cage? Is that what it was called? I never saw it.
Yeah, that was the third one. It was mindless terrible action movie.
Okay. I didn't see it. They're doing a fourth one now. They actually said they're going to do a fourth one a year ago, but I guess it's changed studios now, and now they're confirming it. So they're going to do XXX4. Of course, Vin Diesel's back. DJ Caruso's directing it again. I guess he's really about the only things he can do now, DJ Caruso.
His favorite star, Shia LaBeouf, kind of went crazy. So I guess he has to leech off Vin Diesel now. So
I mean, I guess there are worse people to leech off of than Vin Diesel. You know, if you're going to. In fact, that's a damn sight better than leeching off Shia LaBeouf, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're only doing another XXX because the movie did so well overseas.
It did great in China.
I think unless it's a Fast and Furious movie, I don't think anybody in the United States cares about Vin Diesel more. But that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Vin Diesel, I think this one only made about $40 million here. It did make made 46 million here. It made 300 million overseas, most of that in China. That was smart casting by putting, you know, Donnie Yen in the movie. That's one way of doing it. I imagine they will find a new overseas star to put in this one. I don't know who that will be, but I'm sure they'll find someone. I don't know if Donnie Yen survives the last one. Maybe they'll bring him back. But I don't know. But they'll find somebody to put in there. Movies are driven by overseas. And that's not at least for a lot of these franchises. Underworld is driven by overseas. Resident Evil was driven by overseas box office.
Yeah.
You know,
the last
The
last one made so much money over overseas. Final Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, they all do.
And
make
obviously,
over, do shit
obviously
here.
The king of overseas is that Warcraft movie.
Yeah, exactly. The Warcraft movie killed it overseas, you know? And a lot of these movies.
I'm surprised that, I mean, I even heard way after the Warcraft movie came out that they were even planning to do, like, a sequel and then just release it in China first before it even came to America.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing more of that because America is not the biggest market for these movies anymore. For most movies,
definitely
it's
not.
You know, it's not like it was 10, 15 years ago when all you really concerned yourself was domestic box office. Domestic box office is just a tiny piece of the puzzle now.
Yeah. There's a big world in this world.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost – I don't know if there's any movie that makes more domestically than it does overseas. Like, I can't think of – you know, Black Panther is barely – making more domestically than it did overseas, only about like $30 million dollars or so, you know. And I don't think that'll be the case with Avengers. I think Avengers will probably make more worldwide than it does here, even though it'll make a ton here too. But you know, it's just you got to look at the whole world nowadays. It's a global market, not just domestic market. In fact, when I do the box office, I mostly focus on the worldwide box office, the worldwide total. Yeah. You know, rather than just domestic, because domestic doesn't really matter. When the final accounting is done, they don't just look at the domestic numbers, they look at the worldwide numbers. And that's what drives whether or not we get sequels or not. Not whether it did well here, whether it did well overseas.
Definitely.
The majority of producers are, the majority of new producers coming aboard are Chinese and Middle Eastern. They're driving the casting of these movies. You see in some cases, in some Marvel movies, they'll add entire whole scenes with an international star in them just to appeal to a certain market. We won't even get that version of the movie here. Remember they did that for Iron Man 3. They added a scene.
I remember reading about that.
Mm-hmm. They added scenes with the Chinese doctor, Chinese scientist in there that we didn't even get that here.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, it
so
worked
they did
too.
It for Now You See Me. For Now You See Me too, they did it for that too.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, they did. They added more scenes for the Asian guy whose name I don't remember. We got him in our version of the movie. He was in our version of the movie, but there was more for him in overseas versions, and he had special marketing, you know, for just that focused on him, trailers and posters, things of that like. So. But yeah, it's a global market. XXX4 is happening. Every time one of these movies gets done, I always get the same emails, the same text messages. Why are they doing XXX4? Why are they doing a sequel to this movie? Box office. Just because it didn't make any money here, it made money overseas. I hate that question too. That question always bugs me. Say, why are they making this movie? Do
they
have any original ideas? No.
They switched studios again though, right? Because I know Sony did the first one, or the first two, and then I think it was Paramount did part three.
Yeah, I think so. I know it went to a new, somebody else holds the rights now. I can't remember if it switched distributors or not. That I don't know.
Gotcha.
So I know it used to be Universal used to want to do all of Vin Diesel's movies, and then they all stopped. They weren't all making money, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Something else they caught by. What was it? Oh, the Birds of Prey movie. I'm excited for this.
Oh.
I'm excited for this.
I mean, it's two different scripts, like, apparently.
Yes. That part I'm not excited about.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like I wasn't a fan of the first Suicide Squad movie. I thought it was below mediocre. And I definitely did not think Harley Quinn was the best part of the movie at all. But I guess Warner Brothers thought different. So I don't know. I don't think Warner Brothers knows what they're doing. I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times over the years. So I guess we shall see.
I mean
are they going to have, are they going to have Batman's daughter in it? Like, does he have a daughter in this crazy universe?
No.
Or
the only characters we know that are in this movie are Harley Quinn and Batgirl. That's all we know. For those who don't know, Birds of Prey is a DC Comics series. Usually has Huntress, Batgirl / Oracle, Black Canary. Those are the main three characters. I used to read Birds of Prey for a while back when Gail Simone wrote it back in the first few years. I don't know who writes it now. But I know now the lineup has changed a lot. I think Harley Quinn is actually part of the team now, to the best of my knowledge. But, you know, it's an all-girl squad. They're pretty cool, actually. They did briefly have a CW show back in the day. And what Warner Brothers has done, they've hired Kathy Yan to direct the movie. She did a film at Sundance called Dead Pigs, which a lot of people really, really liked. And she's somebody that a lot of people have their eyes on as a future star, as a filmmaker. Smart decision. Also smart hiring Christina Hodson to do the script. She's basically doing everything over at Warner Brothers right now, it seems like. So they got her working on that. But there's a second script in play. This is the part that bugs me because it seems unnecessary. They're apparently doing the parallel script thing, two scripts working at once. We don't know who's writing the other one. It's probably not Hodson, though. It's got to be somebody else. That's probably a dude. It's probably a dude.
They probably don't know about it.
Especially if his script gets picked. But yeah.
Are they going to cancel the Sirens movie now?
What's that?
Are they canceling the Sirens movie now?
Or
are they going to still go with that?
I think Gotham City Sirens is... See, the thing is, I think all these movies are the same. I think Birds of Prey was Gotham City Sirens. Because the thing with Warner Brothers is, the reason why why they're so much worse off than Marvel, because look, Marvel had its hang-ups in the beginning too, but what Marvel did not have was a slew of projects that just were just kind of like sloppily tossed out there, like this might be coming out, this might not. That's what Warner Brothers has. You never know what the hell's going on. People drop new information in the middle of interviews about totally different projects, and you're like, what is she talking about? What? And I think Birds of Prey was Gotham City Sirens, was one of the other three or four Harley Quinn spinoffs that have been mentioned over the last year. Because there have been about three or four, including a Harley Quinn Joker spinoff movie that's just them two, which is like, how much is too much? But I think those two movies were the same. Birds of Prey and Gotham City Sirens. So I think that movie's gone. We got Birds of Prey now. And it's going to bump Suicide Squad 2. That was supposed to shoot later this year. I think it's going to shoot probably, you know, sometime next year. I'm looking forward to that too. It's got Gavin O'Connor directing it. So that should be fun.
Yes, very, very good director.
Very good director. And I actually think David Ayer is a good director too. I actually enjoyed 2/3 of Suicide Squad. The final act is atrocious. It is unwatchable. The final act is unwatchable. But the first 2/3 of it is pretty much what I wanted the Suicide Squad movie to be. And in general, it's probably their second most the DCU.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. It made I was shocked when it made so much money.
Yeah, $780 million. That movie did really well. And people generally like it. You know, critics killed it. You know, that's par for the course at this point. But audiences really liked it, and I think they want to see a sequel. I want to see a sequel also, just one that's done better. That's all. Just one that's.
Yeah, we,
I can
always,
like the entire
always
movie.
Hope for the best when it comes to DC. Always hope for the best.
Always hope for the best. I always hope for the best when it comes to DC because I really want them to do well. I want them to be as. I want them to be on par with Marvel. That's what I want. I want there to be a real competition. I want to see what Marvel does when they're pushed by somebody who's actually right on their tail. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. Because Marvel's, you know, good now. They could be even better if there was, like, legit competition for them. So, that's why I look at it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe one decade.
Maybe.
I mean, we got Aquaman and Shazam coming up for the next two, so.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure.
Next, or is Wonder Woman 2 next? After Aquaman.
It's Aquaman's December, Shazam is April next year, and Wonder Woman is December next year.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'm glad you remember that stuff, because I don't. I was excited about this. Don't really need to go into it that much, but I did mention it earlier. Star Wars Episode 9 hiring Victoria Mahoney for this second unit direction. It's the first black female ever to work on a Star Wars movie. I just think that's awesome. And I remember her from that episode of Seinfeld, where she was working in the clothing store that Elaine was trying to mess up.
The funny thing is that episode was on like two weeks ago. That episode was on like 2 weeks ago.
Every episode of Seinfeld is on 2 weeks ago somewhere. That the show is running on like 10 channels. All the time.
I'm sure Larry David and Seinfeld are enjoying the checks every week too, probably.
Oh yeah, they're not. They're none of those guys are hurting for money. They're all getting plenty of royalties from Seinfeld still.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg is going to be doing a Black Hawk movie. Can you believe Steven Spielberg is joining the DC universe? I think it's crazy.
I guess you can consider it the DC universe, but I mean the book is from like the 40s though.
Yeah, it is. But Black Hawk's still around. They're still around. They have their own book.
I know that, but I mean, besides like a regular movie fan, if they didn't say that Spielberg was directing a DC in the title of their post.
Yeah.
Nobody would have known that.
I know. You wouldn't know. You're not gonna see Superman come waltzing through this movie or anything like that. But the Blackhawks are a World War II era team. They're a group of fighter pilots, basically, who battle communism and terrorism around the world and stuff like that. In fact, one of their members, Lady Blackhawk, was a member of the Birds of Prey we were just talking about. There are connections to the DC universe as a whole. I seriously doubt this movie will have anything to do with the DC extended universe that we've seen on the big screen. But just the fact that he's doing this at all, I think it's pretty cool. Even if he doesn't end up directing it, because I think there's still a good chance that he won't. He might just be a producer. It's a feather in Warner Brothers' cap to have Steven Spielberg involved with a DC Comics movie. They can tout that. And that might bring in even more audience for something like this. It's certainly the kind of story he would want to do. It's World War II. It's fighter pilots. It's an era that he's familiar with and, you know, likes to touch on. So it seems like you said, if it wasn't a DC Comics thing, it, you would just think it was just another Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it
would be interesting though to see the progress of if they actually go through with it, or is it just another announcement that they never go through.
Well, if we suddenly see a rumor that Jared Leto's Joker may appear in Blackhawks, then you'll know that this movie's not going to happen.
or if Jake Gyllenhaal is going to make a cameo, or
right, Jake Gyllenhaal is going to appear in the Blackhawks movie.
we shall see.
So yeah, that movie's not happening. All right. Lastly, and then it's almost time for the show to end. So the last thing, Masters of the Universe movie finally had, well, I shouldn't even say finally has directors. The Masters of the Universe movie has had multiple directors over the last like 10 years. and nobody sticks around. The Master of the Universe movie is almost as bad as The Crow in terms of, like...
Wasn't Matthew Vaughn wanting to direct it with Triple H being He-Man or something like that, like 10 years ago?
I heard that rumor. I don't think anybody was ever able to substantiate that rumor at all. I heard that before. Just the same way I heard that John Cena was up for Batman once. I mean, these are rumors in fact, if you look on the site, that rumors, I have that rumor posted because it was just so funny. But these are things that I think that just get tossed out there that I don't think they're necessarily true. The last thing we heard was Kellan Lutz. Remember Kellan Lutz was saying that he was going to be playing He-Man? He put that whole thing up and it was like, good God, no, not him.
I know who you're talking about. He's in a lot of direct-to-DVD movies nowadays at Redbox.
Yeah, remember he was in the Twilight movies, and he's in the he did that awful Hercules 3D movie that Rennie Harlan directed.
I never saw it, but I have seen it in the $5 bin at Walmart. So,
oh, it's $5. That's about four too many. So the Master Universe movie has the Knee Brothers directing it. Adam and Aaron. They did a movie that I grew to really like called Band of Robbers. Which was a grown up version of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn as kind of a heist movie. I kind of dug it. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I looked it up when you made the post about so I'm gonna check that out, especially since Supergirl's in it. So that's definitely a reason to check it out.
Yeah, Melissa Benoist is in it. Hannibal Buress is in it. It like I said, the first time I watched it, I was kind of in the middle of the road on it. But I like the idea of it. It was a pretty cool, nifty idea. Set it in a modern setting and then have them be grow up as petty thieves, basically. But it, just something about it that wasn't clicking for me. But I've watched it a couple of times since, and it's really worked. It's really started to grow on me. So, but they're going to be directing this thing. I am hesitant to believe that anything will happen with this movie ever until I actually see something happening with it. I thought John Chu was the guy who would do it because he had G.I. Joe Retaliation, which I actually liked, and he seemed to get G.I. Joe. You know, he's a guy who grew up on these toys. Then again, he did Gem and the Holograms. He grew up on that too, and that movie stunk ass.
I never saw that, but I'll take your word for it.
So I thought he would do this one too, and then that fell through. So maybe because these guys are indie filmmakers, they don't have things pulling at them. Maybe they'll be the ones to do it. I don't know. Are you big on He-Man?
I mean, I used to watch the cartoon as a child. I used to watch that movie a lot when I was a kid. The Dolph Lundgren movie.
Frank Langella is Skeletor.
What's her name? Courtney Cox in it too, I think. I haven't seen it since high school, probably. But
you probably have a better recognition than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Courtney Cox was in it.
Hmm.
I mean, it was a decent movie when I was a child, but I haven't seen it in forever.
She was in it. You're very right. I'm looking at the cast now: Dolph Lundgren, Frank Langella, Courtney Cox. Barry Livingston, why does that name sound familiar to me? Oh, he's on My Three Sons. Okay. Nobody else, no other really big names. Okay. So, yeah, I watched a cartoon. I had a ton of He-Man toys back in the day. In fact, I had almost all of them. I think I may have had.
Oh, wow.
I had a lot of them back in the day. But I have not been really excited about a movie. So, but anyway, time is running out. On the show, the last few weeks I've been running these things all the way right down to the wire, but it's been great, man. I got to have you on here to talk movies again more often. We'll talk Funkos next time.
Oh, definitely. Thank you, man.
That's assuming you got any Funkos left next time you come on here. So, but anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Thank you. Just throwing salt, my friend.
I'm just messing with you, man. Nah, I'm sure you'll have plenty left to talk about. We can both talk about how much we hate the collector core box. Because I'm about to put mine on eBay.
Oh, Lord. I think you might need. I think you might need a whole show dedicated to the disappointment of that.
Yes. I think there'll be plenty of people who want to talk about that, actually, so I might invite a few people. But anyway, thanks a lot, man. We'll do this again soon. And, we'll talk about some Infinity War next week, all right?
Gotcha. Thank you, man.
All right. Later, man. All right. And the show is about to end. Goodbye. I love that. Just...